Good evening, everyone. One announcement before I start the lecture. We finally have the Life After Death in Russian. It came out, the DVD. I know many asked me in the past, there was a delay, and maybe a long delay even. Finally, it came out, better late than never. Anyone feel free to take, I have more in the car if you need more. And people can now start ordering them online for the same price, cost price of $1 each. Baruch Hashem, we're coming back from a very successful trip. I was in Boston, Massachusetts the last 2 days. Came back this afternoon, and mamash directly to here. We had 4 lectures over there, actually 5. 3 yesterday and 2 today, but one was shorter than the average. That's why I consider them 4. And I want to tell you how I ended up in Boston. You know, every week or two, I'm in a different place. But sometimes when you go to a new place, you're curious how you ended up there. So I always tell you, the best investments are CDs. The CDs make revolution. You have no idea how far they can travel and how many lives they can save. So yesterday after the lecture, a guy told me that his brother sent him a CD from Florida. Someone from Florida ordered a box of CDs. And he sent it to his brother in Boston. And his brother started to listen to it. That's one story. Then the next story, I'm sure you heard about Rabbi Leib Lem. He's right here in Yeshiva Sha'arei Tzion here. So he's a friend of mine for many years. So one time, he lives in Muncie, I live in Muncie. So we met in Muncie, and he's traveling every day to Queens. I do it twice a week, I complain, he does it every day. So I said to him, you know, I'll give you CDs. Yeah, 2 CDs I gave him, 2 CDs to listen on the road. Each CD, 30 hours, will keep you busy for the next 2-3 weeks. He took CDs, that's it, forgot about it. Then he has a friend since he's a kid, maybe 40 years, they're friends almost, that he's living in Boston. So he gave the CD to his friend in Boston. So now 2 people in Boston finally recognize who I am. One that got from his brother. They got together, these two, and they organized this trip in Boston, 5 lectures, everything was full. Even breakfast today, we made breakfast today after the prayer. How many guys would come in a time that they're supposed to go to work? In the morning time. How many would? Like 40 people, 3 full long tables, you know, like the big wedding?
Holiday.
Maybe more even.
It's a holiday.
It was full of people. No, and they went to work after, I ask. They went to work after. You know, so what do you see? 2 CDs, $2 is responsible for hundreds of people that are listening on lectures online every day. All we have to know now, who are the 2 lucky people who sponsored those 2 CDs, one from Florida and one I gave to Rav Leib Lem, but somebody sponsored it. That's why it's in my trunk. I mean, somebody, maybe one of you, paid for that CD that made it to Boston, that made his entire trip, and now a new trip is already on the way. One thing leads to another. There's one woman already spoke to me about making a big event soon. This is how it all goes in life. It's a chain reaction. You have no idea how much a $1 donation can travel and make revolutions in the world. I once told you the story that I have a guy in Madrid. He's making tours from tourists. If you ever have to go to Spain, I don't know if there's anything to do there for a from Jew. If you ever have to go to Spain, you want to go on a trip, let me know. I hook you up with him. He knows Madrid, Barcelona, all these places. Can take people, and now Baruch Hashem is fully religious now. How he became religious? 2 German goyim picked up my DVD, Torah and Science, in Istanbul. Goyim. And they listened to it, and they took it with them to Spain on their trip, and they found out that the tour guide is Jewish. They gave him the CD, the DVD, made him religious. And when I went to Belgium, he came all the way by flight from Madrid to Belgium to be with me Shabbat. You understand? So think about the person who sponsored that DVD. What a lucky guy he is. Now, you know, in Spain, there was a very, very massive Judaism there. All the Sfaradim came from Spain. Why you call it Sfarad, Sfarad? Spain, it was the center of the world. All the Chachamim, the Chinuch, the Ramban, many of the important books are all coming from Spain. Rabbi Yosef Karo, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam. Without Spain, if you erase for a minute all the rabbis who came from Spain, Judaism would lose at least half of their glory. All coming from Spain. Girus Sfarad, till they kicked out the Jews, the Inquisition, Spain and Portugal, everybody had to escape from there. The Ramban arrived to Israel 750 years ago, not because he planned. He had no choice. They made a debate in a stadium against a Christian priest in front of the king and all the important people. After 20 minutes, it didn't take him 3 hours like me. In 20 minutes, he destroyed them, the Ramban. The whole arguments that they had is in a book. It's called Otzar Vikuchim, Treasure of Arguments, which comes with all the debates, Judaism versus Christianity. So in 20 minutes, the Ramban crushed them. But somebody ran to tell him, Rabbi, if you stay one more day in Spain, you'll be dead. They're planning an execution for you. You have to understand, the Christians of 750 years ago were like the Muslims today. That's why I don't make a debate with a Muslim, because I still plan to live. And I feel that my time arrived, maybe the last thing I'll do, because there's nothing to lose already. What's the point of winning the debate and 2 hours later you get a bullet in your head or a bomb in your house? They're never going to leave you alone. Remember Salman Rushdie? He wrote a few things against the Quran 20 years ago. 20 years he's hiding. 20 years he cannot walk in the street. Imagine his life. Bodyguard, security. He has to put customs every time he wants to come. Sunglasses, hat, wigs. Cannot show his face. 20 years nobody saw him in public. They live from fear. That's what's happening. When the Iranian Shah escaped from Iran, he had a son, a daughter, his wife, and he went to Egypt because he was very sick and he died there. His wife went to Paris, his son went to Washington, and his daughter went to Manhattan. Why? They all went to different places. That if they come and kill them, they already knew it's a matter of time until those radical Islam will find us and kill us. At least they don't kill us all in one shot, each one in a different place, because we all live in one house, all they have to do is basically destroyed everyone in a minute and finished. Okay, let's start the lecture. So we read the last parasha, Parashat Lech Lecha, story of Avraham Avinu, one of the most important people ever lived in this earth, a dear love of Hashem. Hashem loved him very much. One of the only few people in history that God wrote in his book that he loved someone. He loved Moshe, he loved Yosef, he loved Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he loved Noach, Matzah chen be'enav. That's it. How many more people? Maybe another one or two I forgot about. That's it. Not even 10 people are mentioned, mamash, that Hashem loved them. That, of course, all the tzaddikim Hashem loved. Everyone who created, he loves to some point, yeah? But it's written as an integral part of God's book for eternity. Billions of years from now, it would still say in Shamayim, after this world will be over, there's not going to be bodies, no animals, no bodies, no oxygen, no galaxies, no nothing. The souls will be there, and everyone will still read in the Torah Avraham Avinu. Or Moshe Rabbeinu, Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi. We'll never change the Torah. The Torah will never change. Even though it won't be applying as it is now, because you don't need to put tefillin anymore, and you don't do slaughtering, and there's no more sacrifices. But everything that this world have, the upper worlds have exactly the same. Has Bet HaMikdash, has Jerusalem, has the altar. Even every person in this world has a duplication in the upper world. Did you know that or no? The Gemara says, Iyu lo chaze, mazale chaze. That's the Gemara says. A person doesn't see, but his neshama see. What does it mean, his neshama see? He doesn't know that he sees things, and he acts even according to that. Because every one of us has exactly the same one, but 100% spiritual. That's called the root of the neshama, the root of the soul. Mamash, two duplication, Yerushalayim shel mata, Yerushalayim shel mala. Jerusalem of this world, Jerusalem of the upper world. Every nation has an angel that represents them, 70 angels, 70 nations. You ask me, what do you mean 70 nations? There's at least 400 or 500 nations. I have myself in my monthly report more than 125 countries that I have listeners in. 125 countries. Half of them I didn't know they exist. Namibia, this republic, nobody heard these names before. Even the Palestinian territory, which means Gaza and Jericho and this. They also look at them as one of the countries. It's right there, more than 125. So what does it mean, 70 nations? Because many nations break into many, like the Russians. Now it's, I don't know, 15 different countries. The Arabs was one person, Ishmael. Well, you have more than 20 Arab countries. They're all one, really. China, Taiwan, this, they also broke. Greece, Cyprus, they were all one nation. They broke into four. So eventually, as you can see, even now in Canada, they want to break it to two countries, Quebec and Toronto. It's two different people. In Spain, Catalonians and this. Where they all come from? If you go hundreds of years back, eventually they're the same. But now what's happening now? There's already a war between Madrid and Barcelona, between Toronto and Montreal. Like two different worlds. They want to separate. Even in America, it used to be the Yankees against the South and the North, no? Yeah. In Germany, they split at one point to two countries. Korea split the two countries. So who cares that they don't like each other? You know, in Israel, you have 500 countries in tiny Israel, size of New Jersey. Bukharian, Iran, Syria, Ashkenazi, Temanim, Moroccan. You have 500 countries in Israel alone. Everyone with his own rules. Okay. So what's the story? Avraham Avinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, comes to Avraham Avinu when he was 75 years old. 75 years old. And he said to him, Lech Lecha, go for your own good to the country where I show you. He doesn't tell him where it is. Where is it? Eretz Knan. But something very interesting, because in the last parasha, Parashat Noach, it finished that Avraham Avinu and his family was already on the way to Eretz Knan. But something happened in a way, they got stuck. They did not make it. So they got stuck for more than 20 years in Haran. So now Hashem actually continuing the mission of Avraham Avinu. Anyway, he was supposed to end in Eretz Knan. We don't pay attention to the details, but it was really the plan anyway. So where is the test here? If I wanted to go from Israel to America, and I landed in the middle somewhere, I don't know, in Europe, I'm stuck there for a few years. And then Hashem comes to me and says, no, go to a place that I will tell you later where. And I'm really coming to America. This was my dream anyway. So what's going on here? So it says like this. When Hashem did not tell him where, he only will find out later on that it's Eretz Knan. So the test is something in the life of a human being. The Gemara say, "En simcha, ela ke'atarat asfekot." There's no happiness to the person's life when he finally get rid of a doubt that he lived with. For instance, he doesn't know if he's a Jew or Goy. He doesn't know. He heard that there's a question about the conversion of his grandmother in Russia or in India. He doesn't really know. Some say, oh, it was perfect giur. Some say, no, the rabbi over there was eating rabbits for breakfast. How can he convert her? You know, he eats rabbits in our own eyes, we saw. One say, no, it's not true. We saw the rabbi over there blow the shofar. They don't say it was on Shabbat. This question in his mind. I feel my soul is Jewish. Rabbi, what can I tell you? I'm not connected to anything not Jewish. I can't see myself marry a non-Jew. That's what he thinks. But now he has a doubt. So they begin an investigation. Someone goes there and he's very nervous. 2-3 months, he's waiting for the answer. Finally, the investigator calls him from Russia. He says, I'm very sorry to disappoint you. We know for sure you're not Jewish. So obviously he's going to be disappointed. At the same time, he'll be very happy.
It's a closure.
Because now finally he knows what he is. Of course he wanted to be a Jew. He was hoping. But even now, even when a person is waiting for a real estate deal, 3 months, yes, no, yes, no. The customer is playing. Yes, I'll do, I won't do. I deal, I won't do. It's driving you crazy. After 3 months, he said, well, my wife and I, usually it's the wife, the boss here in this country. The boss decided, I don't have that much say, that we're not buying the house. Yes, you feel a pinch in your heart. I worked 3 months for the deal. But after a few minutes, what a relief, get rid of these people already. It's already, you know, that's it, I don't have the deal, let's move on. We'll give you, we won't give you, we'll give you, we won't give you. In the end, you know what, just let me already know, yes or no. No, thank you very much, I'm happy. At least I know where I'm standing. That's called atarat asfekot, getting rid of the doubts. So when Avraham walks, it's not like today, again in your BMW and 1 hour later you're in Eretz Knan, from Haran to there, 2-3 hours ride. From here to Boston, it's from Haran to Knan. No, camels, donkeys, it takes weeks, can take months. All these times you're nervous. Where is God taking me? Imagine he takes me to Gehenom. Well, what do I know about God's test? That's before he told him, take your son and kill him. That's 24 years before. That's exactly the secret here. Why Hashem comes and tells him, Lech Lecha? Lech Lecha, it's the same words. Lech and Lecha, it's the same thing. Lamed Chaf. Lech, Lamed is 30, Chaf it's 20, Lamed is 30, Chaf it's 20, together it's 100. Numeric value. Lech Lecha. Why? He already tells him, your real life begins when Yitzchak will be born. How old are you going to be? 100 years old. Sarah became pregnant when Avraham was 99, and she gave birth when he was 100 years old. So Hashem already told him, I'm sending you on a journey for your own good. Why? When will you see it? When you be 100 years old, you understand. In 24 years from now, 25 years. Right now, you don't see my plan yet. Okay. So Avraham doesn't ask questions. Of course, he listens to Hashem. What other reason, who can give me another reason why Hashem doesn't tell Avraham where he's taking him to?
The tests.
One more reason. The answer is, his father has a store. It's called Nobody Beats the Wiz. We sell plasma, televisions, DVD player, computer, internet devices. That was the, in those days, that's what it was. He sell idols. So his father is an idol worshiper. Idol worshiper. He supplies statues to everyone who comes and buys Avodah Zarah. What does Hashem want Avraham, the holy tzaddik? He wants to get him out of this filthy family that he lives. And they're all idols worshiper. If Canaan is the main place in the world in that time, if they hear that Hashem told their son to go to Canaan, right away they all jump on the wagon. Everyone wants to go on a trip, no? So he doesn't want them to hear. What is it like? Like you have two kids. One is older and one is very young. And they say, I want to come with you. You're going to Queens? It happens to me all the time. Can we come with you? Now, I don't want the little kid to come. There's going to be babysitter watching him all over. Where is he? So I said to the old one, make sure he doesn't know where we're going. If he finds out where we're going, you're not coming also. Now he knows how to keep a secret because it's for his own good. Same thing over here. Hashem doesn't want Avraham to know. Why? Because his father's going to come and ask him. He won't lie. Tell them I'm going to Eretz Knan. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Kadima, Amtalai, get on the wagon. Amtalai bat Karnevo, it's the mother. No. You know, Avraham already suffered that, to that point, he already suffered a lot in his life. 13 years he was in jail, did you know? Why Avraham Avinu was in jail? He had inside information in the stock market. Someone told him, this company is going high tomorrow, Facebook, you know. They destroyed another 5 million souls this week, so the stock is going higher. So he knew to buy. And then the FBI came, same way, you know, Mr. Avraham ben Amtalai, you have too much information over here. Okay, they took away his camels, everything. They put him in handcuffs, they put him in jail 13 years. Who was the FBI on that generation?
Nimrod.
Nimrod was Obama. He was in charge of the IRS. Everyone who doesn't like, he sent the IRS to them. You heard that or no? They found out that everyone who dared to say something against Obama, right away got audit. Did you hear about this or no?
Yeah.
Just like Putin. Obama learned something from Putin. Don't like Putin, you're finished. That's it. Okay. I hope Obama doesn't go to my website. Tomorrow, 13 years Avraham was in prison. Nimrod put him in prison. They chased him before. They gave him nightmare. His life was nightmare, Nimrod and his soldiers. After all that, they decided to execute him. So they threw him into the fire. This is one of the tests. And Hashem made a clear miracle. He didn't get burned. And then he had to go to a war against four kings with all their soldiers. And he had altogether 318 people, according to the Pshat. 318 people. Take the Israeli best commando. Together with the Marines, I don't know who was the best commando here in America, put 318 best soldiers and tell them, go fight against Russia, Germany, France, and I don't know, another country. What's the odds here? To go to the war, why? To capture one soldier, who? His nephew, Lot, his nephew. You know, the Gemara say, Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim. What the parents did, the time will come, the kids will have to go through the same path. The Chachamim gives us two examples from Avraham and Sarah. Avraham, later, when Sarah cannot have kids, she's desperate already. See, she cannot have kids. So she comes to Avraham, she says, marry my slave. I have a servant, Hagar. She's the daughter of Paro, a princess from Egypt. When Avraham came for the first time with Sarah to Mitzrayim, he told her, please say that you are my sister. Why? She was such a beautiful woman, one of the most four beautiful women lived in history, Sarah. You look at her face, you faint from her beauty. And if Hashem say that Sarah is beautiful, it's not the monkeys that they put on signs all over Queens here. They're monkeys compared to her. And everyone says, ah, oh, the beautiful girl. What beautiful girl? She doesn't look like the nails of Sarah. Comparing. You understand? This is like a divine beauty. The creator of the world tell you, you look at her face, you cannot believe. Especially when they go to a place of ugly people. That's what Rashi writes. If your wife is very pretty, but you go to live in a country that every other woman is very pretty, you're not so worried. There are thousands like her here. Not going to be anything special. But if you go to a place that everyone looks like, I don't want to say what, and everyone right away will say, wow, something like this we never had in the history of this country, the danger is much higher. Okay. So Sarah say, so Pharaoh saw that miracles happened to Sarah because Avraham told him, she's my sister. Why he didn't say she's my wife? Because even the murderer Paro and his filthy nation, think about it, they would not dare to touch a married woman. Not like today, people go with married woman with no cheshbon bechlal. The worst people in the history, the Torah say, the worst people, like the Hitler of that time, Avraham knows, if they'll find out that she's my wife, they'll have to kill me before they steal her. They won't steal her while I'm still alive. So it's a death sentence for me. So I don't understand Avraham, with all due respect. What's better? To know that someone took your wife thinking she's your sister and she has to live in his bedroom and you're alive? Or better to die, not to see it? Huh? If they come to a person, they say, we either kill you or you give us your wife. What would he prefer? Prefer to die.
You're in a mission now.
Depends what wife you have.
Yeah, depends what's wife and depends where the husband came from. The point is that it's... So he says, Imri achotiyat. First he hid her in a box. All kinds of things. He's trying to do things too. He's very nervous. The Ramban say, by the way, the Ramban, not me. I'm hiding behind the Ramban. The Ramban said that Avraham made a mistake. His mistake was that he did not have in his level enough emunah in Hashem. And this is a person that Hashem said that is the highest level of emunah. 10 different tests Hashem made for him. None of us would ever pass any one of these tests. None of it, ever. The test that he has, to fall into the fire, to go in a war for your nephew that is greedy, all he wanted is to take your money and hope you die. Why should I give my life for him? Just because he's the son of my brother? That his plan was, when will I die, that he can take all my money, and that's the only reason he came with me on a journey, on a trip. For him, I'm going to risk my life to go to a war. I'll send money for the lawyer. Here, Mr. Cohen, attorney of law. Go, there's a nephew of mine is arrested over there by the king. Go here, offer them some bribe, do something. Try to save him. It's the maximum I'll do. I'm not going to die for him. But he went to fight for him. And then finally he had a kid after 100 years of suffering, and Hashem already promised him that this kid will be his future and then turn into a nation, and then he comes and says, go kill it. After Hashem told him, you have to teach the whole world not to sacrifice their children. And what does Hashem say to him the next day? Take him and sacrifice him. This is a nightmare here. What's going on? And he did not make a beep. Then Hashem tell him, lech lecha, it's another nisayon. Leave your wealth, leave everything, leave your place. Leave your country, leave your family, leave the place where you're born, and go to unknown address, unknown place. And it doesn't make a beep. But over here, with Sarah, Ramban say, something went wrong here. And some chimalanes. Why you jump into the fire? And some chimalanes. You know, you surrender, you ask for mercy. You don't jump into the fire.
He couldn't do
away with the Zara. No, right. It's a good point. So the point is right now that the Ramban and other Chachamim, this is something very interesting. They say like this, look. The Arabs, they came to the world from Avraham and Agar. Agar. The Arabs got their traits, also like their parents. From Avraham Avinu, they got the hospitality. You go to an Arab house, Hamas terrorist. You have business with him. He sees you a Jew. As soon as he sees you, it's like the cat see the mouse. What's the first thing the cat is thinking? When will I swallow him alive? But before he will chop you to pieces, he'll give you the best Arab coffee, pita bread, olive oil with za'atar, labane, he slather a goat for you. Make, Fatma, two shish kebab. He right away open the table. Now when you become like a goose, they let them eat a lot. The middle of the night, he come. He make bracha ala shchita and slather you. But hospitality, the top level. The Arabs, in the history of the Jewish nation, listen, something amazing, you never thought about it. Jews live in all the Arab countries, Iraq, Syria, Iran, Lebanon, any Arab, Egypt, any Arab countries, Yemen. Never in the history you found that a Jewish woman worked as a servant in the house of an Arab. But always, every Jewish home in all the Arab countries always have an Arab servant. Why the Arabs serve the Jews? Always. It's a rule in the creation. Because Hagar was a servant of Sarah, it will stay like this forever. Ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. Not one time you find Miriam walk in the house, unless if they kidnap them. They used to kidnap people. What can you do? Come, they kidnap the girls. But Mustafa, I want to be your servant to do your laundry. Never found. Goes like this with his mustache, with his chain, you know, his necklace. Sit like this with his belly. And Miriam from Bet Yaakov, she comes. Mustafa, can I wash the dishes? Never. Look, ask the Syrians in Brooklyn. They came from Syria a few years ago, some of them. It's called Khadame. Khadame is the servant. You don't have to say a non-Jewish Khadame. Say Khadame, everyone knows who you're talking about. Everywhere you go, same story. But the Ramban say, because Sarah was stuffed with her, it's all measure for measure. Her children will give us hard time until Mashiach comes. It's amazing how that story that we read in this parasha reflects to every moment of our life. Next time you go to the airport and they take you, Mr. X, take your shoes off. And you go like this and you're missing your flight. Beep, beep, take this, take the watch, check. Maybe you have transistor in your heart. All this nightmare, remember, Hagar, Ishmael, that's where it started. Everything that you go through today, Hamas, Hezbollah, Syria, Iran, whatever you see, this is right here in the parasha. So it says like this. One more thing. The level of gratefulness, it's that what Judaism is all about. The most important thing in Judaism, what is it? To bring a person to a level that will always be a grateful human being. Always be a grateful human being. That's why I give you an example. When a person, when a non-Jew convert, he became a Jew. She went into the mikveh, Christine, she came out Sarah. At that moment, when she takes her hair out of the water, she's no longer have anything to do with her relatives anymore. Her mother is not her mother, her father is not his father, brother, sister, cousin, uncles, even her own children. No one has any relationship to her anymore. Nothing. It's nothing to do with them. Now she has a different soul. Hashem separated her from the nations and made her a Jew. So, if the parents are not anti-Judaism and they're not giving her time, you know, they're okay, you want to be Jewish, go to Israel, be Jewish, we bless you. We don't believe in your way, but we're not going to tell you what to do. No, fine. No problem. They're not an enemy. They're not a threat. Sometimes it turns very ugly, especially if they're very religious in their idol worshiping and you left that and they raised you and they go crazy. Because remember, some of them would give their life to take a Jew and make him Christian. What all these missionaries do? Billions of dollars they're going to spend to turn one Jew into Christian. Billions. But no limits. You know what an achievement is that for them? They'll walk from Africa to New York if they know they have you in their pocket. Never give up. They get beaten up. People throw them from the stairs. People give them hard time, the next day they show up again. They never give up. They knock on the door, we brought you a cake, we brought you a gift. Here, free mezuzot, you need money for the mortgage. They already got beaten up. Some people are violent, they kick them out. They never give up. They raise billions for this mission only. And then imagine their daughter tell them, I became a Jew. It's a nightmare for them, okay. One day, her father died. Their biological father, but she has nothing to do with him. So there's a question now, if a goy that turned into a Jew if one of his parents died, biological parents, if he's allowed to say Kaddish for the Goy, her father Chris died, idol worshiper, every day comes to the church, kiss the feet of Maria, over there when he goes, and then give another kiss on the cheek of JC, and that's how he starts his day. Now, this is her father. She's already 30 years a very religious Rebbitzin. She's in Judaism 100%, very strong. No one even knows she's a convert. She's already mamash like a religious Jew from birth. Or the son can be a rabbi already. There's many converts who became very big chachamim. They wrote books, they're very big. Now, his father, the idol worshiper, died in a church somewhere, in Russia, in Poland, I don't know where, Italy. He wants to say Kaddish for Chris or for John. Allowed or not allowed?
Allowed.
Allowed. As much as Hashem cannot stand his father, the idol worshiper, gratefulness is above everything. The Egyptians did to us what Hitler did to us. Same thing exactly. What did Hashem say to the Jews? Pharaoh and his son cannot convert because they torture you with their hands. But the grandson and on can convert. So everyone asks, why? Because they gave you a place to sleep when there was hunger in the world. You came, Joseph was the minister of finance in Egypt. So he brought his family, and Paro gave them Eretz Goshen. Here, go over there, fine. And they went there, and they survived. And later, they make them slave. It was all preparation for the day they'll make a slave. Well, I owe you something. You invite me to your home, you give me 1 year of food, pleasure, you do my laundry, and then you make me a slave, and you lock me in a jail and beat me up. I have to thank you for the year. It was all a trick. Eventually, Hashem said, you had a place to sleep. They gave you food to eat. Yeah, they kill your babies later. That's one problem. But until now, they gave you something. Don't be ungrateful. But the two nations of Ammon and Moab, they did not give you bread and water when you came out of Egypt and you went through their territory. And your grandfather Abraham saved their grandfather Lot, his nephew, right here in our parasha. And they don't appreciate that they are alive thanks to your grandfather. They will never convert into my nation. Why? Ungrateful, I don't want in my nation. Therefore, a Jew has to be very careful never to be ungrateful, because all Judaism is all about is to be grateful. That's why everything you eat, thank you Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, thank you, prayers, this, thank you, holidays, everything Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim. Half of the mitzvot is a memory of the exodus of Egypt. You put tefillin, is a way of saying thank you. You put it on the head, it's another way of saying thank you. You keep Shabbat, thank you Hashem that you took us out of Egypt. You sacrifice the Passover sacrifice, thank you Hashem. You eat matzah, it's thank you Hashem. Everything is thank you Hashem, everything you do. It's all about, we were slave and you released us. Okay. But by the Arabs, it's exactly the opposite. I'm not talking from a political point of view. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not a politician and don't care about politics. Only from what the Torah says. The Torah says that Hagar, she was ungrateful. Why? Listen to the story. I'm going to read it to you. It says like this. Hagar ran away from the house of Sarah, first time, before Ishmael was born. She ran away, and she went to the desert. Think about it. She used to be a princess, then she became a servant, and now she ran away. Okay. So she ran away. The angels comes to her, five different angels. This is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that there was a king in his time, that the daughter of the king, a demon went into her. And the demon was talking from her throat, all kinds of scary voices. So the king was going crazy. So they knew Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the biggest Kabbalist. He wrote the Zohar. All the Kabbalah started by his hand. So he knew. So they say, who's going to go? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, I will go. So he went to take the demon out of her because he knew this king will benefit the Jews. He will cancel the decrees against them and all that. So what happened? Hashem helped him. He sent an angel, a bad angel, Ashmai. It's a demon. It's not an angel. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, look, Hagar, the Arab servant, Hashem sent her 5 angels. And me, a Jewish rabbi. And what a rabbi. Remember, you pick up any 1,000 rabbis you want from the world. My word for it, take it. Put them on a scale on one side. And you put Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai on the other side. Any 1,000 rabbis you want. You pick them one by one, from the biggest to the smallest. You put them on one side. And you put Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai on the other side. The scale will break. The 1,000 will fly all the way to the sky from the weight of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in his holiness. 13 years in a cave, buried in the ground, sent up to here. Body was dry. Cuts, all cuts of blood. You know what it is? That the body is in the sand. Eating carobs. You know what carobs? Did you try to bite from a carob? It's like taking a piece of chair and break it and eat the wood with a little sugar on it. That's what it is. And seeds inside, you have to speed it. Ugh. Just look at that, I get goosebumps. Water, dirty water, dig in the ground, there's a little lake there, spring water. 13 years, hiding. Every minute the Romans can break into the tunnel and chop your head off. Think about it. You're searching, there's a search warrant for him. The entire Roman Empire is searching for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to chop his head off and his son, Elazar. Why? Because in a political argument, he wasn't a hypocrite. 3 rabbis were arguing, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. And they argue, one said, how great is what the Roman Empire's improving, upgrading the Holy Land. They make tracks, they build bridges. So another rabbi said, he was silent. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, don't be naive. Everything they do for their own good. They care about the land. They do this, they collect tax. They do that, it's for them that they'll be able to kill us faster. He gave an argument. And somebody, you know, there's always someone who runs to the authority to tell about his friend. Someone was very kind to run to the police of the Roman and say, you know, this rabbi in public was speaking against your police. Right away, KGB. Obama sent his friends. Someone speak against me, right away, audit. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he had overnight, he had to run away. He didn't tell his wife where he goes. Well, you know what, they're going to come, they torture her, she was going to say where. And he went and hide in a cave in Meron, that's where he's buried now. That's where 500,000 people go every year to his grave, every year, 2,000 years after he passed away. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say, Hashem for me to help me in the end. Thanks to the demon, he was able to cure the girl because he came out of the body of her. But he said, for me, Hashem sent the demon. But for her, he sent 5 different angels, to save this slave, which used to be a Goya princess, and she came to work in the house of Avraham Avinu. So it says like this. Why Hashem sent 5 angels? Because there's a rule. The angel, there's one angel can only do one, is a messenger only for one thing. You cannot do 2 things, the angel. Same thing when they wanted to destroy Lot, Hashem sent 3 angels. One to destroy, one to tell them, one to take them out. Everyone has his mission. Like in the army. You are in intelligence, you don't move from the office. You don't run and shoot. He's shooting, he runs. He's driving a tank. He's a pilot. Everyone has to stay to what he does. He can do other things. There's time now in between. Not all the time the plane are fighting. The pilot is waiting an hour until his plane will be ready with bombs. In the meantime, he can do intelligence work. He can send emails. He can call. No, that's not how the army works. Everyone has his job. The angels, the same thing. It's like robots. Everyone is programmed. Okay. So 5. Why 5? So this is how the story goes. Sarah, don't forget, Sarah is a prophet. Hashem said to Abraham, which was a prophet himself, everything Sarah tells you, you must listen to her, which means she's in a higher level than you. By the way, if somebody asks you, what's the best name in Judaism? Sarah is the best name. Nothing, it's perfect name, according from all aspects, the best name. No, fine. It's good for the converts. When they convert, sometimes they look for names they don't know, so they look at all different kinds of names. It's the best name in Judaism. So it says like this. She said, Hashem said, Kol asher tomar elecha Sarah shma bekola. Everything she tells you, listen to her. So they see that Hagar, she's kfuya tova. She disrespects her master. You know, today you have amiga Silvia. She works for you in the house. She came from Guatemala. When the senor comes into the house, did you see what respect they give? They have dignity, these people. Even though the senor is very nice to her, he always speaks to her, you know, nice, without putting her down. Did you eat? How are you as your husband? Whatever. It's nice to her. Hello. Every day say good morning. Try to help her if she sees she needs help. No matter what, she always look at you as a king. Right away, as soon as you walk near her, you see right away, oh, senor, oh. Right away. Why? Mentality. There's the master and there's the servant. And if they don't, they cannot be friends. 20 years, she's going to walk in your house from morning to night. You feed her. You give her gifts for her children. You give her all kinds of things. She will never lose the distance between her and the master. Will definitely not dare to be ungrateful or to dare to say, to damage you or to do anything like that. It's very interesting. But she is not like that. She is kfuya tova, Hagar. Sarah, she's starting to be strict with her because she sees she disrespects. Abraham knows that she means for the sake of heaven. But Abraham also worries about Chilul Hashem. What's people going to say? I'm the president of the generation. Everyone knows me. I made an hotel. Everyone comes and eat for free. Vaita Avraham Eshel. People eat for free. I teach that there's one God. I'm like Ephron. When he came to buy the Me'arat HaMachpelah later, Ephron told him, you are the president of God among us. The whole world knew about Avraham Avinu. It's a very important person. He's the leader. Mamash, he's the messenger of God. So what's going to happen? My wife tortured the maid? It's a problem here. It's a conflict. Okay. So, it says like this. After all that thing, Hagar became pregnant. And Sarah made ayin hara to her. Evil eye. Evil eye to her. And she had a miscarriage. She lost her first baby. Ishmael wasn't the first baby. First, she lost the baby. After she lost the baby, she ran away to the desert. She couldn't take it anymore. When she ran to the desert, all her ego went down. Why? Before, she said to all Sarah's friend, look at me. I just married to Abraham. He just married me. Right the way I became pregnant. She, his wife, the righteous Sarah, all these years, nothing. Don't you see that God loves me more? He said to Sarah's friend, this is the Midrash. It's Torah from the Shamayim. So Sarah looked at her. She was very upset. She lost her baby. She ran to the desert. She felt she cannot show her face in the house of Abraham after that, when Sarah knows what she did. Then five angels coming to her. Five. So it says like this. Even the Chazal say, even the servant of Abraham Avinu, servant of Abraham Avinu, reached a level higher than the Chachamim in the Talmud. That's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was crying about. The angel asked her, where are you coming from and where are you heading to? She only answered the first question. I'm coming from the house of Abraham and Sarah. Mipnei Sarah Gvirti Anochi Borachat. I'm running away from my master, Sarah. Now she speaks with respect. Just a few days ago, who is she? I'm better than her. Look, I'm the wife of Abraham. Hashem gives me what he didn't give her. Don't you see I'm better? That's how she talked. But now she's, after she lost the baby, she realized, okay. So, the Malach say to her, Agar Shifchat Sarai. You are the servant of Sarah, which means don't ever forget who you are. Yes, you can be in Egypt, you can be a princess over there. But what I told you, remember in sport, you have few leagues, first league, second league, third league. If you number one in the third league, the last team on the first league is better than the first one in the third league. But on the street, I'm the champ. You're the champ of the garbage. Champ. You champ. What champ? Of course, you're the champ. The worst loser in the best league is already going to crush you if you have a game between you and her. You're a princess by Paro. Oh, Baruch Hashem. But you are the servant of Sarah, and don't forget it, this is in the Torah. It's a verse in the Torah. No, the Arabs cannot argue with that. It's in the Torah. Listen. So he say, the second angel came and say, you have to return to your Sarah, to Sarah, your master. Ve'itani tachat yadea. And you have to be tortured by her. This is what God wants. Nothing you can do. Don't run away from your destiny. It's another verse in the Torah. Now you're going to understand why we have Hezbollah and Hamas and all this. In 1 minute, you get the whole picture. Tovim lach inuye sara mima'adanei melech Mitzrayim. Better you be a tortured servant in the house of Abraham and Sarah than a princess who enjoy life in the kingdom of the king of Egypt. That's what the angel told her. Okay. Then, the third angel. What did he say? He said, don't worry. One day no one will be able to count your descendants. You have plenty of kids. Remember, she just had a miscarriage, so she doesn't have any kid yet. Rav yezarech ad ki lo yisaper merov. No one will be able to count how many children you will have. The fourth angel came and say, as soon as you return back to the house of Abraham, you'll have another kid. And you will call him Ishmael. What Ishmael means? God would hear. God would listen. Ishmael. But he will be a wild beast. Pere Adam. He would look like a human being, but he will really be an animal. That's what it means, Pere Adam. Wild beast. Yado bakol veyad kolbo. His hand is in everything, and everyone is connected to him, which means they'll have the oil. He cannot move without it. That's it. They have the oil. They run the world. Look what's going on. Every beep somebody make, the oil go from 30 to 100. Nobody can survive. Every product you buy in every store in the world is tripled in the last few years because the oil went from 30 to 100 and something. It crushed governments. It cannot move without it. We used to pay $600 to fly from here to Israel. Now 1,800, 1,700. Why? Oil. Oil prices. Security in the airports. One plastic cup. This plastic cup used to be a cent. Now it's 3 cents or 5 cents. Multiply by a billion cups a month. Countries go down. It's not a joke. It's right here in this verse. Yado bakol veyad kolbo. No special wisdom. No special intelligence. No Nobel Prize winners. Not one of them will invent anything in history. But you cannot live without what they have. That's it. They run the world. And it says like this. Why you have to call him Ishmael? Ki shama Hashem elonyech. Hashem listened to your suffering. That's why you have to name the baby Ishmael. Listen, the name is important. You see, it's a direct instruction from Hashem. How are you going to call your wild beast? The murderer one, the idol worshiper. There's a list of things he used to do in his life. that Avraham later kicked him out of his own house. The number one merciful person in the history, Avraham Avinu, the symbol of kindness and mercy, threw his own son, remember, from his house. Think about it. How can it be such thing? That's how bad he was. But you have to call him Ishmael. The name is holy. Ve'od, why you have to call him Ishmael? Listen good. Because the time will come one day that Hashem would listen to his children from screaming because of the suffering of your children will going to do for them. They will make Hashem listen to the Jewish prayers. That happens in Yom Kippur. 2-3 more hours, they'll destroy us. Do you know that? Another 2-3 hours, Israel will be destroyed and all of us will be dead. They don't take prisoners. They take, but they kill them inside the jail. No human rights, no democracy, no nothing. Blow your head off. They cut you to pieces. Think they care? Ask the prisoner of Syria what tortures they went through. For years, every day, every night in Egypt, the tortures is beyond words. I read a few articles, they don't talk about it. The soldiers, when you speak about them, they cannot even say the words from what they went through. Here and there you heard what they did to them. And to, how to believe? How to believe? I saw one time an email with pictures of what the Iranian did to their own people when they tried to demonstrate a few years ago. Believe me, until today, I can never forget the pictures I saw. I never believed. Mamash, even Mengele didn't do what they did to their own people. Mamash, incredible what they did to them. What tortures. Just by seeing the picture, you are shocked for the entire day. You cannot move. How they hung them, how they opened their chest, how they tied all kinds of places and stopped the blood. Wow. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. So, the prophecy here that there will be time in history. Yom Kippur was a small version of it. Yeah, we screamed to Hashem and Hashem helped us in the last minute. Thousands of us died and in the end we won the war. But that's not what the prophecy meant. The prophecy meant, as the Zohar say, before the Mashiach would come, they'll control us for 9 months. 9 months, it's enough, believe me, to suffer for 1,000,000 years, 9 months under their hands. If they suspect one of their brother is cooperating with the Jews, you know what they do to them? They tie them to a jeep in the middle of Gaza and they begin to drive until not one piece of flesh left on their body. Scratched, you see bones coming out of the body. Their own brothers, it's his cousin right here. And they all scream like Meshugaim, Allahu Akbar, and they shoot in the air. Party. I don't have to show you. Look what's happening in Egypt. Look what's happening in Syria. So the angels say, why you have to call him Ishmael? One day he will make the children of God scream so loud with so much fear to Hashem that Hashem would listen to their prayers. Why? Because of them. Because of them. That's why you call him Ishmael, because he's going to symbolize something that will happen one day. Okay. So it says, Ishmael will be a wild beast. His hand will be in everything and everything will be in him. He will grow up in the deserts. He would live in a desert. They always lived in a desert. All the desert of all the Middle East. Always. Even in the old days, 2,000 years ago, Chazal describing them as coming on camels and on donkeys with barrels of oil. They have oil. They used to sell oil manually, not like today in massive production. Who, by the way, helped them to make trillions of dollars every year? The Jewish mind. Who do you think invent all the pumps, the machines, the refineries? Without the Jewish mind, they wouldn't be able to get all this oil. Very difficult to get the oil, you know, and to turn it into benzene in a gas station. It's a whole long process. There's some countries who have a lot of oil, but they don't know how to get it out without the West. They don't know how to get it out. Venezuela, Iran, they don't know. They need the Russians or the Americans or the Israelis and all that to use their technology and knowledge to take it out. So it says, Al pnei kol echav ishkon, they'll be spread also all over the world. שיפוצו בניו ובני בניו בכל העולם. I go all over. See everywhere you go. Go to New Jersey, Jersey City. See what's happening there. Go to Brooklyn, Atlantic Avenue. Coney Island Avenue. See what's happening there. Go to Manhattan. Everywhere you go. Even Monsi. On the way, in the entrance to Monsi, half a mile before, halal meat. Full of them. Everywhere you go. By the way, it's very interesting. Whenever the Jews leave, right the way next to that, they come. You see, mamash, Hashem sending them. Whenever you are, somebody is watching. Somebody is watching you. Don't fall asleep. Amra Agar, Ata Hashem El Roi. You are my God. That you saved me from my misery. After, אחרי שזכיתי את כל לראות מלאכים רבים בבית אברהם, until now I only saw angels in the house of Abraham. I thought, it's his merit, since I work here I see it. Now I see you actually send me angels. She felt very important. I had the merit to see your angels by myself alone here. And they spoke to me. That's why she called Be'er Lachai Roi. She called the place and the Torah named the place after what she said as a thank you to Hashem. She returned to the house of Abraham. She conceived again. She gave birth to Ishmael. And Abraham called him Ishmael without her telling him about the angel. Two different sources. Why? When you circumcise the baby, even though by Ishmael he didn't circumcise him because he will only circumcise him later when he'll be 13. But when a person is born and you circumcise him, you have to name him. You name him in a circumcision. And when you name him, Hashem gives in your mind what name to call him. I remember one time I was by Rabbi Chaim of Shul, 14, 15 years ago. So one guy, I had the zchut to make him religious with his wife. If you remember one time I said a story that the guy came to me with a ponytail, with the limousine hat, and he stuck his ponytail under the hat. And by Motzei Shabbat, we opened the chumash and he came. והיה כאשר תריד ופרקת אולו מעל צווארך, תחיה. I said to him, first line on the right, whatever Hashem say, you have to cut your ponytail. ממש like this, answer from Shamayim, miracle. Couldn't believe it. Next day he had a haircut, okay, that's the guy. ברור Hashem now, שומר שבת, no, fine, he goes to shul, beautiful things. כושר, he keep nida. Many things happen to this couple, now they have a baby. The Brit is in a basement in a Rav Chaimov in a shul there. They have a catering hall there. So, you know, we came to say Mazal Tov. So I see that they let Rabbi Chaimov name the baby. So now, in the middle of Brit Milah, I see Rav Chaimov is holding the cup of wine. And he says, V'ikare shmo b'Yisrael. I see this guy come to him and say to him, Eli. Eli. I see Rav Chaim of say, huh? Three times. Eli. Huh? Eli. Eli, Italian name. So I see his mouth is like this. The name doesn't come out of his mouth. Mama is 10 seconds like this. The Ashkenazi Moel is cleaning out. The Ashkenazi scream. V'ikare shmo b'Yisrael Eliyahu. That's it. They named the baby already. But the father said, Eli. So he was about to scream, got angry. So I was there. I said to him, shh, shake a tembel. Stalk, you fool. He said, why? I said, what do you want to call your son, the name of Italian mafioso guy? Don't understand the name determine the whole life of a person. I think it's a joke. So he looked at me, he was in shock. He was afraid from his wife and from the family. So I said to him, believe me, it's all from Shamayim. That's his Jewish name. You want to call him another name? Call him another name. So he went. 5 minutes he came back to me. 5 minutes later he said, no. He was embarrassed. You did not understand us. We wanted to call him Eli like the rabbi in the Gemara, Rabbi Eli. I said to him, you know, who are you fooling? Rabbi Eli, in his life he never heard his name. Someone from the audience told him, no, there's a name in the Gemara, Eli. Oh, all of a sudden he became Chacham Ovadia, you know, Rabbi Eli. This Eli is supposed to be 15 today, I don't know, 14, probably at Bar Mitzvah, Baruch Hashem. So, Avraham called him Ishmael. Why did I tell you this whole story? Chachamim say, Ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. The same way she was ungrateful to her master, this is their nature. In Israel, you have thousands of stories like this. Thousands. You take an Arab worker. He can work for you years. You give him a place to sleep. You give him food. You give him your children clothing after it's not matching the size. Bags, gifts. You do so many things. You run. You get him a permit to work. Everything. After that, he take a knife and stab you in the heart and kill you. Thousands of times. You feed him with your own hand. Get him job. You give him loans. Treat him like mamash, like a person. What in his village is going to do? Starve to death. No work there. What does he do in return? Stab you in the heart. Cooperate with them to blow up your place. Thousands of times. You want to kill a Jew? Go kill a stranger. Why you kill a person who's feeding you 15 years? My uncle was like that. My uncle was one guy. He raised him since he was 14, he gave him a job. Working there, he's already 30 years old, got married, have children. In the last minute, they called him that he planned to kill him. Well, much like his son, he treated him, like a son. What? With so much respect. He takes as much food as he wants home. Nobody tells him, he's already the boss of the place. In a pizza shop. Yeah, everyone likes him, everyone treats him nice. You know how the Israelis are. Treat them, how are you, Sami? How are you? Da, da, da. Well, one day I hear, where is Sami? Don't ask, he was planning to kill my father in the last minute we called him. That's what it is. Where it comes, the mother was like that, that's the way it is. From the father, they got hospitality. Avraham Avinu, the best. Hospitality, if you come to the house and you don't eat, or they don't run to serve you, it's a big insult for them. That's why the Sephardic Jews also very big in hospitality. It's not that the Ashkenazim are not, but if Ashkenazi, you come to the house and he serves you food and you don't eat, he doesn't stand and cry. Okay, I serve, he doesn't want to eat, fine. Respects your decision. If you come to a house of a Bukharian guy and he serves the whole table for you and you don't eat, forget it, he will never forgive you. 20 years later. Ah, this rabbi is no good. Why? Why, Mr. Borokhov, why is not good? Because in my house I ran, I put watermelon, I ran to the store. Not one thing yet. And if you begin to eat, comes the drink. Ismo, ismo. No, I have a lecture to give. No. He runs around the street, he grabs you. I go to Arizona Friday, I'm going to Phoenix. There's one guy over there, such a tzaddik, heart of gold. I come with suitcase full of CDs, very heavy. She weighed 1 ton of CDs. And the suitcase have wheels. I come out of the terminal, waiting for me. So he picks up the suitcase in the air. I said to him, no, Michael, you don't need, there's wheels. No. He has to pick it up. What do you mean? I have to suffer to serve you. If it's come like this, I don't feel I do anything. That's the... Grow up in these countries, hospitality comes from them. You learn from them a lot. This is it. And the food is very similar. The food of the Middle East, full of colors. Lots of red colors, spicy food. Why? That's the personality of the people from the Middle East. Anger, anxiety, fire. The food that comes from Europe, white, sweet, and cold. Gefilte fish, white chicken, soup, very white. No, you don't see red paprika, red harif, jalapenos, no color. The whole thing is white, yellowish. Personality of the people. Classy, Mozart, Beethoven. Goes together with the food. But today, Baruch Hashem, it's getting mixed. It's getting mixed today. Today you go to the shish kebab restaurant, 90% of the customer Ashkenazim and Hasidim. They already love spicy food. Different world. Baruch Hashem. So it says like this. After Ishmael is growing and he becomes becoming an idol worshiper and a hunter and a murderer and so kinds of things, Sarah said to Abraham, you must throw him out of the house. It's his own son. You have to get rid of him. What did he take? He took a barrel of wood and tie it to the heap of agar with water. He gave them bread and he tied something to her that will make a mark on the sand. That if one day he goes and he wants to see where his son is, there's no Facebook. Couldn't find Ishmael on Facebook or internet or cell phone. So how is he going to find one day his son? Once he goes 1 mile away, that's it. You'll never find him. To make a line, something heavy that they would drag in the sand. Okay. So she went. She came to Midbar Paran, a place in the desert called Paran. Over there, Ishmael found a wife. What's her name? Aisha. Half of the Arab women today, their name is Aisha. Aisha. 3 years later, after Avraham kicked him out of his home, he went to visit him. Followed the tracks. Sarah said, if you go in one condition, that you promise me you don't come off the camel, I know your merciful heart. If you go into his house, this and that, you bring him back here. No. Stay on the camel, you want to know how he's doing, stand far away, ask the people, but don't come out of your car. It's like today, don't come out of the car. Okay. Well, he promised. Okay, so he goes there. He got there in the afternoon. He found his Ishmael's wife. People told him where he is. Okay, he came to the neighborhood. So he asked, where is he? She said he went with his mother, which means Hagar is still alive, 3 years after they kicked him out. He went with his mother to bring fruit and dates from the desert, from the trees. She said to her, can you give me some water and some bread because I'm very tired from the road? She said, I'm sorry. There's no bread, no water. Ask someone else. Very nasty. She didn't know who he is. She didn't tell her, I'm your father-in-law. And I have billions. She knew. She would create the water if she had to. She didn't tell her. Okay. She said, no. So he said, when your husband come, tell him an old man came from Eretz Knaan. He will get the point. From the land of Knaan. And he said, Saf abayit eno tov. The foundation of the house is not good. He'll get the point. When Ishmael came and he heard that, he realized what happened. Right away, threw her out of the house. Divorced her. Okay. And he went and found another wife from Egypt. What was her name? Fatima. The other half of the Arab women. Half Aisha, half Fatima. Now you understand why, where these names come from. This is Midrashim of 2,000 years ago, not from yesterday. Midrashim speaks about these names. Fatima, 3 years later, again he came to visit. And he asked, and the wife of Ishmael was there. And he told her, give me water and bread. He asked, where is he? He said, he went to take care of the camels to make them drink in a lake somewhere in the desert. So give me some water and bread. I'm very tired from the way. Right away she brought out, she gave him. So Abraham started to pray to Hashem that the house of his son Ishmael will be full of all wealth. When Ishmael came back, his wife told him what happened. And now Ishmael knew that his father is in peace with him after that. Because she told him, you know, this old man was praying and blessing us. And he knew where he came from. This is the story
This is without the Torah Shebe'al Peh, without the Oral Torah, obviously we would not know what's happening, you know, behind the scene. But we should know a few more things and we'll finish with here. It says like this.
Avraham, when he was 3 years old, he already asked questions, who is God? Who is the creator of the world? But he didn't do that much about it. He lived in a question, like many goyim. They ask, who is the real God? What is the real religion? But they live with that. Some of them live with that until they die. The minute before they die, say, hey, John, what's going on? Same question he asked you 80 years ago. That's what he asked now. What did you do about it? Nothing. Until Avraham became 52 years old. 52 years old, it was 1948 in the creation. The year, the Jewish calendar, 1948. He was born. And then he became 52 years old, exactly the year 2000. The year 2000, according to Jewish calendar, he started to give lectures in Rabbi Bloom's shul. He came, instead of the Toyota, he came with the camel. Don't need to worry about parking. It doesn't make you wait half an hour for the camera. Avraham Avinu, you know. So he started to give lectures, and he started to make people religious. Not religious like today, keep Shabbat, put tefillin. Not yet, because it's before Matan Torah. The Torah wasn't given yet. But the foundation, there's one God. Everyone worship a different idol. One God. Oh, now everyone knows there's one God. And he's watching the world. He didn't create the world only and disappear like some fool things. No. He's watching every step. Okay. And you have to pray to him in your own language. Now it's another thing he taught them. And you have to say thank you for the food he gave you. And they started to get a foundation, which later becomes Judaism. He gave them the foundation. That's why Islam is also monotheism. They believe in one God. They don't say son of God. And they make up a fake prophet. But they never dare to say there's more than one God or anything like that. At least not that we know of. Even though one Muslim one time wrote me an email, some professor, and he told me that I'm wrong about it. That they're also idol worshippers. And their religion came from idol worshipping in the beginning. I don't know. I never saw source for it. I don't know. What I know, they never worship idol. They believed in one God, that's it. But they made up phony Quran, phony Muhammad. They made a lot of stories. But the foundation of believing in one God, to the best of my knowledge, they always had it. So, Vaita Avraham Eshel. Eshel, it's the name of a tree. But what's the secret of Eshel? Aleph, Shin, Lamed, Aleph, Achila, Shin, Shtiyah, Lamed, Lina. Eating, drinking, sleeping. What do we call it? Hotel. Hotel Avraham Avinu. Today you want to go to a hotel, you call one room in a hotel, look like a house of rats, $200 a night. You're stuck in the airport, you want to stay overnight. Garbage hotel. The air condition take hot air. Someone smoking under you, choking you. The ice machine don't work. No wonder people who call there commit suicide the next day. But Avraham Avinu treat you like a king and everything for free. Just eat whatever you want. Sleep, eat. Just make bracha. Say thank you for the God who gave the food. He started to make this place a very famous place. And then after that, that's how the name of God became very famous. Later, the Torah say, Avraham making the men religious and Sarah making the women religious. There's only one problem. There's a say in Hebrew, it's called Ilya veKotzba. Yeah, it's a good part of the animal where the stomach is juicy, fatty. If there's a thorn in it, so it ruins the whole thing. The whole thing is beautiful. What is it like? You have a bottle of whiskey, $100, and one drop of perfume fell inside. Perfume, very bitter, strong. Wow, like this.
$100, one drop of perfume. Drop! You drink it, tastes like poison. That's what it is. Eliyahu v'Kotzba, what am I saying? All these people that Avraham made religious, in the end went back to be wicked. They went back to their old ways. Why? There was no follow-up. Avraham moved on. That's it. No follow-up. No community. They didn't have a shul to come across the street here. So let me ask you a question. Why the Torah is bragging that Avraham was making Balei Tshuva, converting them, if in the end they all became what they were? If I fill up the bucket, if somebody is very thirsty here, and I fill up the whole barrel of water for him, and then I kick it, and all the water spill. Someone would say that I fill up the bucket with water knowing I kicked it in the end. What is it?
It started as the tshuva moment.
We learn one thing from it, that even a temporary tshuva, temporary repentance, is already a huge thing. Person become religious when he's 30, for 6 months. And then went back to his bad ways. That already was something huge in his life. The impression that he made in the spiritual world was already worth it to mention it. You know, if a person comes and he say, I used to be this and this and that, which means I used to be wicked. No, people should say to him, I don't accept the Lashon Hara you speak about yourself. So he said, I'm speaking about myself, not about anyone. I'm just telling you how he used to be. Which means he wants to brag that now he became tzaddik. He means well. It doesn't mean to make himself bad reputation. But what Chafetz Chaim say, even on a person to speak Lashon Hara on himself is not allowed. That's what it is. Now let me tell you a few more things and we finish. It says like this. When Hashem said to Avraham, Lech Lecha, he said he was 75 years old. How old was his father, Terach? The day that Hashem told Avraham to leave his father's house, to leave Haran and go to Canaan, Terach was 70 years old. Terach was 7 years old when Avraham was born. Now Avraham was 75. So how old is Terach? 145. When Avraham went to Canaan, Terach died one day. How many years after? 60 years after Avraham left the house. So Terach died 205 years old. Not before he made tshuva. In the end he made tshuva. Why? For the honor of Avraham Avinu. Avraham is the glory neshama in the upper world. And everyone will point to his father that died as an idol worshiper. Imagine some Christian, his son became the chief rabbi of Israel. Just out of dignity to the rabbi, Hashem has to take the Mustafa or the Christopher and turn him into a Jew. Why? Because how this rabbi is going to feel he come to the court of heaven and everyone say, Hashem, look at his father. And I'm like, to his Buddha. Chief rabbi come like this, everyone kiss his hand, 1 million people come to his funeral, and then the Satan show his father from the closet. Come, Mustafa, your time arrived. What an embarrassment is going to be to this chacham that they show where he came from. That's the only reason Hashem forced the tshuva on him. Much like this, for the honor of Avraham. That's why the Gemara say, Mezakeh Arabim, and chet ba'al yado. Someone who makes people religious, he has a special shield from Hashem to protect him from making special sins that he was about to do. Why is it? Because Hashem doesn't want that there will be a situation that his student will be in heaven and he will be in hell. That's why Hashem is forced to protect him for the reputation of the Torah. The reputation of the Torah. It says like this. The Kuzari asked, why from all the people in the world Hashem chose only one person, Avraham Avinu? Kuzari was the king of Egoim.
The whole entire nation of the Khuzarim converted to Judaism. After they checked Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, they realized right away the difference. So, the Khuzari asked, there's a book, the Khuzari, very, very important foundation, this book, Questions and Answers, that they asked Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, why Hashem chose one individual? Isn't it logical to think that all people are important in the eyes of God? Why he picked up Noah, Adam, Shem, Noah, Abraham? What is this? Billions of other people around, garbage. 1, 2, 5, 10, 20, that's it. What's the whole creation for? Nobody cares. I mean, 2 million Chinese walking the street eating worms and cats and for breakfast. And all of a sudden, one of them in Shanghai, tzaddik, is important. Nobody else has Hashem. What's a good question? What's going on here? הרי כולם הם יצירי כפיו, יסק רב יהודה הלוי. Why? I mean, why Hashem chose him? So רב יהודה הלוי answered him the truth. He said, no, it's not true that Hashem chose him because he loved his beautiful eyes. No. Everyone in the world disappoints Hashem. Hashem was so disappointed from all these millions of wicked people that got life. And what do they do with their life? Spit in the face of their God. No dignity, no gratefulness, no charity, no honesty, no nothing. 7 laws he gave them. And they don't want to keep it. Murder, rape, stealing. Malaret, Hamas. The land is full of stealing. Who knows what's the difference between Hamas and Gezel? There's Ganav, Dan, Hamas. What's Hamas?
It's like mafia coming to you and forcing you to...
Hamas, it means that you steal in a way that the court of law cannot prosecute you. For instance, if you steal $10 from someone, you can get arrested. But the law, let's say the law said that if you steal less than a dollar, there's nothing they can do to you. There's a minimum in the law to bother the police and the court. If somebody stole a quarter from you, the police that comes to arrest you will pay $20 gas. There have to be a logic. So let's say they made a rule, up to $10, nobody gets prosecuted. It's against the law, but you get away with that. So what do? Instead of stealing $100 from your pocket, every day steal 10. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, hundreds of times. Every day, 10, 10, 10. So there's nothing you can do. Every day, up to here. Up to here. That's, by the way, what's destroyed them in the end. Stealing, among all the things, the stealing got the verdict that Hashem destroyed the Dor HaMabul. And why? Because by Goyim, to steal is worse than to be a Jew when you steal. The Jew steal, he has to pay double, finish. The Goy steal, he has, Chas V'Shalom, he has to get execution. Hashem kills him, that's it. And it's very difficult to correct. Today it's a different story because they have no idea what they live for. But in the old generation, when they knew the 7 laws that Hashem gave to Noah and to Adam, you should not steal, applied on the land, and they still stole. That's why they stole only up to the limit. Why? Because they care. So, we'll trick God. We'll steal. We'll do whatever we want, but we'll steal in a kosher way. You know? Okay. We said, Rav Shimshon from Ostropoli, it says like this, hundreds of years ago. It says like this. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Ve'eescha legoy gadol ve'avarchecha ve'agadla shimcha ve'yeh bracha. I'll make you a huge nation. I will bless you. I will praise your name, make your name big. And it will be a blessing, which means you'll be able to bless others. Few blessings in one verse, okay? The Gemara say, Ve'eescha legoy gadol. I'll make you a huge nation. This is what we say, the Gemara say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Ve'elokei Yaakov. But we do say, Baruch Ata Hashem in the end, Magen Avraham. What happened to Yitzchak and Yaakov? Left out.
Avraham. That's what it means. Your name will be greater than everyone. Okay. Uve'avarchecha, and I will bless you. That's the second blessing in a verse. That's what we say, the God of Isaac, Elokei Yitzchak. Ve'agadla shimcha, I'll make your name big. The Gemara say, that's what we say, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Jacob. This is the Gemara in Psachim Kuf Yud Zayin. What's the connection between saying the God of Jacob to the blessing that Hashem say, I will make your name Abraham big? The grandfather, okay, his name is big. What does it have to do with Yaakov? Okay. The answer is, if you take the letters Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov together, it's 26 letters. Avraham 5, Yitzchak, it's 13, I'm sorry. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov together, 13. If you take the names of the mothers, the four mothers, also 13. 13 of the men, 13 of the women together, numeric value, 26. 26, the name of God. Yud, it's 10, Hey, it's 5, Vav, it's 6, Hey, it's 5, 26, equal 26. What makes the nation of God a nation? Three men, four women, 26 letters, the name of God. But there's a problem. What's the problem? Lichora, allegedly. It looks like a problem. What's the problem? Hashem changed the name of Yaakov to Israel. Your name, your new name is Israel. It's five letters. That's why when we pray, we don't say Israel. We say Yaakov. But the Gemara say, if someone call Avraham, Avram, like they do in Israel, Avram, Aleph, Bet, Aleph, Bet, Resh, Mem, four letters. Later Hashem add the Hey, Hey of Hashem, into his name. But before that, Avram. So today in the slang, Hebrew, people don't say Avraham. They say Avram, Avram, come here, Avram. Four letters, he's making a sin from the Torah. Why? Because Hashem say, Lo yikare shimcha Avram. No one is allowed to call you Avram. They have to call you Avraham, which means if I call my friend Avram, I'm making a sin against Hashem's wish. Nobody thinks about it. Better to call him Avi than Avram. Avi is a different name, a nickname. It's like calling him Table. No meaning Avi. Avi could be my father, okay. But it's dangerous. So, Avraham, all together, 13 and 13. 13 is also Gematria Echad. One God, Echad, that's it. In the time of the Maharal Miprag, he lived 500 years ago exactly. He was born and he passed away 420 years ago. He lived about 80 years in his life. The Maharal, very big in Czechoslovakia, in Prague. Prague, the Maharal. You go to Prague, you still see his shoulder, standing there for more than 400 years. Right there, the same original building. I was afraid you asked me about the golem. Because if you remember a few months ago, I made a lecture here that I said this whole golem story never really happened. It's just someone made it up. But it's okay, the truth must be said. What's not true, we have to scream, even if it comes from Jewish books. So it says like this, in the time of Maharal Miprag, there was an anti-Semite priest that used to give him a lot of hard time, provocative questions. Comes to him, Rabbi, da-da-da, Rabbi, yeah, okay. One time he came to him and he said, Rabbi, why the Jews don't mention Moshe in the prayer? Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What about Moshe? Spoke to God. It's not worthy enough to be in a prayer? What answer would you give this anti-Semite priest? We'll finish with that, no? What would you answer him? It's a good question, no? The anti-Semite priest said. No, what would you answer him? Huh?
Moshe has no benefit. He's fully out of his promise with Hashem. He asked for his name to be written out of the Torah.
Nah. Very weak.
No one can suspect that Moshe did it for any kind of...
I stop you right here. No? The Maharal told him, the plan was to mention only Moshe. But what can we do that his father was an idol worshiper priest in the church? Thank you. We couldn't put him in. We got him good. He was making fun. He said, well, how can we put Moshe? His father is Yitro. Hey, he doesn't know. Later, Yitro became tzaddik, Baruch Hashem. Think about it. Yitro is like the Pope in the Vatican today come on the news and say, buongiorno. It's not Italian anymore. No, what is he now? Argentinian. Hola, como esta? Okay. Por favor. Here's a message now. What's the message? Poco, poco, before everyone drop dead here. I'm converting to Judaism. I'm going to Yeshiva in Monsi, and I'm going to learn Torah. Take my thing, take this, all this show off, all these beautiful buildings. Forget about it. Black hat, takes a hat, put the hat on, tzitzit, like this, and he go, what would happen in the world? Think what happened. It's what he taught. He was the teacher of all the idol worshipping services. And he went to be a Jew. Joined the nation of God. What do you think? It's a coincidence that his daughter Mary, the greatest person ever lived? One move that you make can change everything in eternity. Tzipora, his daughter. Bezrat Hashem. We'll see you next Monday. Don't forget, there's new CDs, Life After Death. And please always follow my calendar, the events for the lecture, if they are, if they're not. Thank you very much.